Good morning, brethren. It's good to see you all this morning, especially our visitors. Thank you for so much for being here. We appreciate your visit. Hope you'll come see us again next chance you get. We are going to be in 2 Corinthians this morning in chapter 6. If you would begin to open your Bibles and turn there. I would also like to say that I appreciate your prayers during my health struggle. I was a little bit scared about that in the beginning, but I'm thankful to hear that it was just a muscle tear. So thank you so much for your prayers on that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to be really primarily focusing on this entire section of verses 1 through 10. We're going to do the first five this morning, or maybe we'll get a little bit more done, then we'll do the second half this afternoon when we come back together after lunch. But 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. What this is talking about here is what a minister of God is, what a minister of God practices, what they are known by. How do you know what a true minister of God is? We can call ourselves a minister of God. We can call ourselves a Christian. We can call ourselves a child of God. But what makes us truly that is how we live our life. If we say that and we don't back that up with action, back that up with what God wants us to do within the Bible, well, it means nothing. We back what we say behind up with word, with works. If we don't do that, then truly our words are nothing. The same as an idol. But this second letter to the Corinthian church is really just talking about what it means to be a minister of God in this chapter 6 section of text. Not to receive the grace of your God in vain, Christians. And the way that we might do that is by not being a minister of God 24/7 all the time. Being a minister of God is a 24/7 job. You don't get to take a day off on that. The Christian life, the spiritual life, living for God is not a job where you take a day off. It's not, you don't take a Christmas holiday off or whatever you want to call it, or a Halloween holiday off. It's a 24/7 thing. You must live your life Sunday through Saturday, Sunday to Sunday, all the time for God. Because today is the day of salvation. Let's read that text together, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 2. We then as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So to properly practice being a minister of God is to not take the grace of God in vain. And therefore, rightfully take hold of today being the day of your salvation in Christ. So I'll ask us the questions this morning, myself included. Can we rightfully say that everything we're about to read is what we are practicing in our daily life? How much time do you give to God? How much do you dedicate yourself to God? How loyal are you to your God Almighty? These are questions I want you to ask your own heart this morning. Don't look to the right or to the left, but look to your own heart as we go throughout this text. Because as we read this text, we're going to be convicted in heart, hopefully. But can you, a Christian, say that you are a minister of God rightfully? Or could your ministry be blamed? Could it be blamed? And could people even take offense, maybe, at how you've been acting, how you've been behaving? Or can you say that you have been living the rightful, righteous Christian life? So, of course, Paul talking here to the Corinthians, those with him, the Holy Spirit ultimately saying the words that are here in this Bible, dictating what is seen and expected of a minister of God. Or, in other words, what is expected of every single Christian that has ever lived and ever will live. But the minister of God first endures all things. Let's read verses 3 through 5, if you would, with me. 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 6, 3 through 5. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. All these definitions, all these terms or phrases are things that we're going to go over a little bit more in depth in a moment. But we give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. Brethren, the only way your ministry is not blamed is if you remain blameless, is if you are living the proper life of a Christian. If you're showing every time you walk out the doors of this building a whole entire different person than you show to your brethren inside of this building, there's a problem. There's a problem. You need to be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, whatever you want to call that. You need to be the same all the time, 24/7. The Christian life, once again, happens in this building just as it does in Pizza Hut, just as it does in Walmart. It doesn't matter where you're at. The Christian life happens when you're talking to your kids, when you're talking to your grandparents, when You know, whoever it is, you're talking to them. It always continues. Whether you're talking maybe even to a denominational person, maybe even to someone from a religious, you know, a world religion. Doesn't matter. A Christian attitude must always continue in the life of a Christian. And that is a Christ-like attitude. So, a Christian may condemn or commend and show themselves as a minister of God if they endure through difficulty. This is the first thing we're going to be talking about, the endurance through difficulty. We'll talk about how a minister of God, of course, maybe also lives and what they live by in the second part of this section of text. And you can go ahead and read that for yourselves and notice those things there. But the first thing we're going to be talking about is endurance through difficulty. Now is the day of our salvation. Whether you're a Christian or not, today is the day of salvation. If you're not a Christian, today is the day you should become one. If you are a Christian, today is the day you should act like one. Today is the day I should act like one. If it's tomorrow, that's the day of salvation. If it's Tuesday, that's the day of salvation. Does anyone here know when the Lord's coming back? No. Not a one of us. You know who knows? The Father only. The Father only. So we have to be ready. 24/7, that's the life of a Christian. Never stops. You don't get to take breaks. You don't get to say, well, I don't feel like it today. No, it's a 24/7 job. Every Christian ever must act like Christ all the time. Now, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. We're human. Certainly that's going to happen. Did you think that whenever you became a Christian, that you'd never sin again? Did you think you'd never mess up again? You're going to mess up again. But it's endurance. It's overall consistency. Overall endurance through difficulty. Through trials and anxieties and different things that happen in life, because it happens to all of us. Brethren, friends, we all have different stories. We all come from different backgrounds. We all maybe speak different languages. Have different people in our lives. Have experienced different things with different people. But nonetheless, we come together because we are Christians. And we live under the same banner of Christ. We live under the same New Testament. That's why we're here this morning, to worship our God in spirit and in truth under that New Testament law. So whether it's maybe us or whether it's somebody else, a family member, a friend, fellow Christian, they leave this earth. Will you endure through that difficulty? You know, whoever it is, it can be anyone, literally, the closest person you can think of. Maybe they leave this earth. Will you endure through such difficulty? Because when those times come, you're not ready for them. But when they come, they punch you like a train. Are you going to be ready? Are you going to be able to stand up for God, even so, whenever you just lost maybe something so precious to you in your life? Whatever it is. So endurance through difficulty, that's why it's so important that we talk about these things, because these things can happen at any time. Jacob Doss, I believe, was a brother at a Green Forest Church of Christ, wasn't he? Jacob Doss? Well, if he was, the point is, brother or sister in Christ, you know, any one of us can lose our life at any time. I just heard about that accident. They didn't expect it. You know, the people who were close to him, I didn't expect to hear that this morning. I didn't expect for this back problem to happen, or, you know, all these different people probably didn't expect different things to happen to them, all these prayer requests we've been getting. But nonetheless, they happen, because life happens. But nonetheless, God will take care of us. So have that faith in God, but also endure for God. This word ministers here, as we continue to talk about this, is the word diakone. Diakone, or diakonai, however you want to pronounce it. It's a Greek word. It means servant. A servant, of course, is a servant so long as he or she does work for someone or something else. So the only way you can call yourself a minister is if you're doing something. You don't get to just say, I believe in God, and that's just it. It's not a faith-only thing in the New Testament or in the Bible entirely. Go read Hebrews 11. You'll read person after person who had to do something for their faith, and it was accounted to them for righteousness. If you don't do that, then what is your religion at all? So, belief in God comes with works. James chapter 2, of course, we know this. But another word also for commend is exhibit. So, showing ourselves as ministers of God. Exhibiting ourselves, maybe like people seeing us every single day. Maybe like you go and maybe look at, you know, maybe an animal in the zoo or something. You see how they look, you see how they act, you know that animal is going to be like that. Well, the same may be for a person who's trying to live their life for Christ. They're exhibiting a certain amount of traits all the time, and you see that person is different. This person is a Christian right here, this person is a Christian right here. They may be totally different in personality, but you know what? They're the same because they both act the same. They both fly under the same banner of Christ and try to live Christ-like, acting kind, acting patient with others, extending salvation toward their fellow man as best they can, trying to extend that gospel. So all these different things, long-suffering, but enduring. Enduring through difficulty, enduring with your fellow man, even if they persecute you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will, turn there with me, in verses 4 through 11. This is chapter 1 now, 4 through 11. We'll read this real quick. Chapter 1, 4 through 11. This first term that we, of course, read in our main text is impatience. That's the thing we're going to be talking about next. Chapter 1, 4 through 11 says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Verse 5. "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation." Verse 8. "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf, for the gift granted to us through many." So, they had those persecutions back in the first century like no tomorrow. They had those things going on all the time. They had those tribulations like crazy. Those Jews were beating them. They were doing all sorts of things to them. We're going to read about that later. But nonetheless, they endured. Not all of them, but some of them endured. Paul, you know, we talk about Silas later in the book of Acts, whenever they were enduring difficulty by the Jews. Well, still they endured. Nonetheless, even though there was tribulation, they still stayed strong. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. As you're turning there, if you're taking notes, you can also put down synonyms like long-suffering and endurance for this word patience here. And I'll go ahead and read 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 4 so we can update, remember where we're at. Verse 4, "But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience." The next one is tribulations and needs and distresses. So we just read patience there, but 2 Peter 3, 8 through 9, if you'd read that with me. "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So God is endurant to us. God endures through difficulty that mankind, of course, gives to Him. Whenever we constantly sin again and again, you think God maybe doesn't get tired of how much man sins over and over again? We were just reading in our class this morning about how different people would intercede on behalf of the people. Moses interceded on behalf of Israel, saying, you know, don't let your wrath destroy, you know, all of this people back in Exodus chapter 32, whenever he was saying, just let me start over, Moses. Let me just make a nation out of you. No, Moses was interceding on behalf of his brethren. So, praying for his brethren, we can also pray for our brethren, enduring together. All these different concepts blending together, you see? But patience, long-suffering, endurance through different difficulties, maybe even patience with your brethren, but exhibiting these things as a good minister of God. Whether it's tremendous difficulty, whether it's easy difficulty, whatever it may be, the God of comfort and mercies, of course, is always with us as Christians. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. 2 Timothy 4, 17 through 18. "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And certainly amen to that. But the Lord delivers us. God delivers us. That word over and over again seen throughout the Scriptures. Old Testament, New Testament. Go read the book of Psalms. Read the book of Proverbs. Read the Old Testament with Moses. The deliverance that they were praying for and how God certainly did eventually deliver them. Brethren, it might not happen right now. It might not happen today that your deliverance through a certain tribulation might come. That God might take you out of such a situation. But it will come, whether it's in this life or the next. So you have to have your faith. You have to have faith in your God. Understand that He will take care of you. Understand that deliverance is certainly coming to all Christians. Even as we read texts like Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we understand that all things happen for good to those who love God, to those who are called children of God. Understand that. Don't ever forget that. And brethren, when you have those hard times, go back to the Bible. This morning, we read through a whole section of text. John chapter, it was 6 or 7, and we went through 6 through 26. It took us 2 minutes. 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. That's all it took from our time, from our busy lives here on this earth. I'm just as guilty as you are, brethren. We don't get into our Bible enough. We just don't. And that hurts us. That hurts our spiritual life with God. We got to get into the Bible more. We got to take care of our soul more. Take care of our spirits more. Do that for you. Do that for your brethren. Sit down with your family. Have a devotional. Do whatever it takes. Get back having time, more time with God. The next word here is in tribulations. So that was in 2 Corinthians 6 once again in verse 4. In tribulations, what that means, of course, is afflictions, pressure, sufferings, and troubles. Now, a lot of these different things, of course, you can write down a lot more in-depth information as you maybe read through brothers in Christ who have done commentaries on different texts like this. You can read through the synonyms. You can read throughout the Koine Greek on these different things. So no doubt we can consider maybe even the Apostle Paul and faithful Christians at the time of this letter who were suffering through tribulations, who went through so many different types of severe and cruel sufferings, maybe the most imaginable. Now, we can go throughout the Corinthian letters and all throughout the letters that Paul sent to the churches, and he talks about those things many times. He even talks about things that he used to do to the church whenever he was, you know, back in Acts, whenever he had the people stone Stephen, as we read this morning. He even talks about those things. So, of course, all to help us to become better ministers of God. In necessities is the next term that is used here in 2 Corinthians 6. So, in necessities, the Christian must still serve and have faith in God as His ministers or her ministers. Sometimes this is translated hardships, so in necessities or in hardships. However your version there says that, if you turn to Acts chapter 20, we're going to read verses 32 through 34. Acts 20. And if you need any of these verses, once again, after our lessons, please do ask me if you ever need one of these verse references again. Acts 20, 32 through 34. I'll give you some time to get there. All right. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, ye yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. So, talking about having all His necessities, in necessities, you know, whether we have it or whether we don't, still we know God is going to take care of us. Still we know that whether in this life or the next, God is ultimately going to deliver us, take care of us in whatever way that we ultimately need. We might think we need this right now. We might think we need this amount of food right now. But the truth is, maybe God has a different plan for you. Maybe God has something else in mind. We may think we might need this Xbox right now or this phone. Well, God may have a different plan for you. God may have something else in mind. Maybe that's not the best for you. Maybe that's not the best. Maybe you need something else, and you can't have it right now, but maybe later. We have to trust in our God, brethren. That's the point I'm making. Trust in our God. Whether somebody loses their life today or tomorrow, the worst thing that can happen, or the least worst thing that can happen. Endure through difficulty as a minister of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. We'll read that one real quick as well. It says there, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So knowing how to be satisfied, knowing how to be content, whether you have everything or whether you have nothing, whether you have nothing or everything, being content with God, understanding that all is for the child of God as God wills. All is as God wills for the child of God. Pray for such a thing as well. Whenever we pray, we ought to say what? As the Lord wills. As the Lord wills. The next one there is in distresses in 2 Corinthians 6. After necessities, it says in distresses. Another way you can synonym this is in troubles, in calamities, extreme pressure. One thing we might be able to think of maybe as an example, if we talk about extreme pressure or maybe in distresses, at the Red Sea. Remember back in the Exodus, whenever they were sitting at the Red Sea and the Egyptians were marching towards them with their chariots, they were coming after them. You think they were pretty distressed at that time? That's why they were lacking faith at that time. They were pretty distressed. I would be too, honestly. But nonetheless, whenever God told Moses to part the Red Sea, it happened. They walked through the Red Sea. They got to the other side. The sea came back on the Egyptians whenever they tried to go through as well. But they, of course, had to endure through that difficulty. Maybe even the righteous. Maybe all of them weren't righteous. Maybe some of them were righteous. They had to endure through that difficulty. They had to understand that their God was going to deliver them whenever everybody else was saying, this is crazy. Why are we doing this? This sea is not going to part. Well, then it does. But they didn't know it was going to happen until it did. So they had to endure through that difficulty, those trying times. That's how, of course, we need to go through life. Understanding that these times will come, the Egyptians will run after us, the devil will run after us. But whenever that comes and something really bad happens, you know, really maybe twisted things happen, still endure through difficulty. Still go through it and get through it with God. Because God will take care of you, once again, whether it ultimately leads to the next life, even so. God will take care of you. You need to trust Him. Surely heaven is better than anything that this life has to offer, and we need to trust that. So, another thing we might consider is that if no one or if one has never suffered any tribulation, maybe for the cause of Christ, any tribulation at all, maybe they've been a Christian for a long time, they've never suffered any type of persecution or tribulation, why is that? Why is that? Is it perhaps because people don't even know that you're a Christian? And brethren, I've been just as guilty as we all are sometimes of this. Our coworkers may not even know that we're Christians. They may not even know that we go to the Church of Christ, that we're a part of the Church of Christ, that we're part of the true church, the kingdom of the living God. They may not even know that. Why don't they know that? Why don't you exhibit being a minister of God towards your fellow man? Extending that gospel out there by your example, just as you bring it out by your word. Why don't we do that more? Brethren, this congregation is not going to grow unless we do. It's just not going to grow. We got to evangelize in our lives. I'm not the only one to do it. Every one of us are equally responsible for the Great Commission that was given in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and in the book of Mark. Every single one of us, and the book of Luke. All the gospel accounts have a Great Commission version. Every single one of us are responsible as ministers of God. Every single Christian, whether you're man or woman, you can play a part in being a minister of God. And acting as Christ. Now, I'm not talking about literally, physically getting up here and preaching. We know that man leads the acts of worship. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living as Christ did, displaying that example towards your fellow man, bringing the Word of God to your fellow man, and maybe even to your brethren, helping them out in such matters as well. All right, let's get into 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 5. So we read that last verse and went through all those terms. Now, 6 and verse 5 is the next one that we'll have. In stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and sleeplessness and fasting. So remember what we're talking about, that now is the day of salvation to be a proper minister of God. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, verse 3. So the first word, in stripes. Really, this means literal beatings by rod or maybe even by hand. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. If you turn there, since it's right nearby, 11:23 through 28. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. There it is. in prisons more frequently, and deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, verse 26, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in this city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. One of the most beautiful things about that entire account that Paul gives there and all the things that he suffered to me is whenever I read all those different things and then I read the last verse that is there, verse 28, what does he say is his deep concern? His deep concern for the churches, for his brethren. He's ultimately focusing on spiritual things. He's not focusing on physical things or his own vessel, his own body. He's focusing on the things of God, the most important things. And stripes, literal beatings by rod or hand, whether it's that or whether it's something maybe even much worse that leads to death, physical death, we still must endure through that difficulty. It is commendable and it is right for Paul to speak and perhaps even boast of these things that he just said because he is a true minister of God. These things are here so that we might also exemplify this same behavior. As we read also in a prior text that we did last Sunday, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Something Paul said to the Corinthian church of Christ. Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Brethren, can we say that? Imitate me as I also imitate Christ. If Paul could say that, we should also be able to say that. He was a Christian just as we are. Whether he was an apostle or not, all of us should be able to say that. We should be living that example as a minister of God, as a minister of Christ. As a brother or a sister in Christ, we should all be living as that example to the world and to our brethren. We do know that Paul was in prison a lot. He was in prison a lot because that's what it takes to be a minister of God. Being willing to do anything, whether it costs your life, whether it costs your freedom, whether it costs your temporary freedom, being in this place or the other, in captivity, being a minister of God, prioritizing God in your life as the first thing before anything else, is the most important thing that you can do. And if you don't, why? Why, as a Christian, are you not prioritizing God in your life? Enduring through that difficulty will be so much easier if you do prioritize God. Next verses we're going to read is Acts 16:16 through 24. So put your marker there in 2 Corinthians. Acts 16:16 through 24. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profits by fortune-telling. This girl, verse 17, followed Paul and us, and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Verse 23. When they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with stocks. Brethren, for being a Christian, if you've never suffered any type of persecution once again, if people don't even know you're a Christian, why is that? You understand the things that just happened to Paul and Silas here, the accounts that we can read throughout the New Testament scriptures, and even the Old Testament? People and the things they did for God? And what are we doing for God? What are we doing? You know, only showing up to church services when it's convenient? What are we doing for God? Why don't we prioritize Him in our lives? Why do we prioritize other things more than we do our God Almighty? Why? Every one of us are guilty. But the question to us all is why? Let this be a challenge to you this morning to change your life if you need to. Get to church services more. Do more for God. Read the Bible more. Brethren, we have to do it to keep ourselves safe, to keep our families safe, to keep our brethren safe. Why don't we prioritize our God? This is how we'll get through that difficulty. Even as we read chapters like Ephesians chapter 6 and talking about the armor of God, why don't we use all of those different tools? Talking about the breastplate of righteousness, talking about the shield of faith. When we read all of that, why don't we have those things? Why don't we read the... You won't even know that those figurative things are there if you didn't read the Bible. We've got to get into the Word more. We've got to dive in more. Brethren, there is a study of the things in this life, and there is a study of the things of theology, the things of God. Whichever one you prioritize is the one that you will know more. We talked about before, a younger person can possibly know more than an older person, in physical wise, in spiritual things, because they study more. How much do you study in God's Word? Or do you only know what you come and find out on Sunday morning worship? How much do you study? How much do you prioritize God? This is an important lesson that we all need to remember and all need to challenge ourselves with this morning. Be better at prioritizing God in your life. Just as I say it to you, I say it to me. Brethren, this lesson is just as much as to me as I'm saying it to you. I'm the one who tries to bring up all these lesson ideas and tries to bring these things all together so I can present them to you, present the Word of God to you. Why don't we prioritize God more in our lives? Why don't we do it more in our lives? It's something that would be crazy, but it's something that we're all guilty of. Acts 13, 49 through 50, if you turn there with me. We're almost finished here, and we're going to continue this afternoon in the next section of text. Acts 13, 49 through 15, or 50. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That was 49 through 52. But in tumults is this next word. This next word in 2 Corinthians 6 is the last one we're going to be going through. Or disturbances probably means instability, disorder, confusion that surrounded Paul and other New Testament Christians at the time. There was a lot of that going on because people didn't like Christians at that time. Do they like them today as much? Now I'm talking about true Christians. You see Christianity all over the world, brethren. What's the sad reality? Most of the religious world is it going to heaven? No, it's not. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Matthew chapter 7. Brethren, narrow is the way that leads to life. Do you hear that? Narrow. Are you ready for the judgment day? Hebrews 9:27. Are you ready? If not, why? It's time to get ready. It's time to accept the invitation today. It's time to do something about it. If you are a Christian or if you are not a Christian, and you have a sin in your life as a Christian, or if you're not, why? Do something about it today, because now is the day of salvation. Enduring through difficulty is only possible with God. You can't do it with the person on the left or the right only. You can only do it with God Almighty, truthfully. Get through it with God. Don't get through it trying to go off to man first. Go to God first. Prioritize God in your life. Don't make Him a second thought or an afterthought. Brethren, let this be a challenge to you. I will preach this to you every Sunday if I have to. Let this be a challenge. Let's try to prioritize God more. Be a minister of God as you should. Because that's a commission to every one of us, not just to the preachers, as we call them. Or some of them call them the pastors. That's not just a commission only to them. That's a commission to every single Christian. Pastor is an elder, by the way. Preacher is the word, though, that we use for somebody standing up in the pulpit. But still, the commission is to every single one of us. Every single one of us. All right. The last ones I will read really quick, and I will be finished, is Acts 14:19. Acts 14:19. And once again, I hope you are all back for this afternoon service. Please come back so that you can dedicate just a little more time to reading God's Word with me. Acts 14:19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Now turn to chapter 17. Turn to chapter 17, 5 through 6. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Chapter 18, 12 through 13. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." Do you see how much is going on with this brother in Christ? Do you see how much is going on with these brethren? How much goes on with you in your life with your God? What is your spiritual journey? Ask that question to your own heart this morning. And if you are convicted, then please accept the invitation. Accept the invitation and come forward as we're about to stand and sing. If you have any need this morning, brethren, and once again, if you will, come back for the afternoon service. It's 45 minutes of your time, brethren. 45 minutes. That's it. That's it. Just lunchtime, go eat some, come back, 45 more minutes. You praise God together with your brethren. 45 minutes. That's all we're asking. That's all we're asking. Not even an hour. It usually never goes to an hour. 45 minutes. Will you dedicate that time today? Will you dedicate that time in your home when you wake up, when you go to sleep, when you eat? How prayerful are you? How much do you dedicate your life to your God? Let this be a challenge to you this morning. If you have any needs at all, prayers for yourself, prayers for a family member. If you are convicted by this lesson, I ask and I plead with you, please do accept this invitation. If you're not a Christian, you have to believe Jesus is the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus is the Son of God before men, be baptized, that is immersed into the water, a full immersion, so you may receive the remission of sins and be added to the kingdom of God. Only then must you remain faithful after that for your entire life, being that minister of God that we talked about this morning, living your life with God, enduring through difficulty, because with God you can only get through it. If you have any need this morning, come to the front as we stand and praise God together.
And he bids us all really drink. Will you God? Please.